We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Nishan Michal Yaakov and Pinchas Leo in Ksuvos Perek Gimel Mishnah Gimel. Nara Shenis Arsam Nizgarasha. You have a case of a Nara, she's between 12 and 12 and a half. She had Erisin, so she was an Ashes Ish, but she's still a Basula, Venizgarasha. And then she was divorced. So this is a girl who is a Basula, so potentially, and she's still a Nara, and she's just divorced. So the question is there a din of Knas or not? So obviously, had she had, let's say she had not been divorced and someone violates her, so the halacha would be there would be no payment of Knas for a simple reason. Reason that the person who violated her would chayv misa because she's a married woman, but here she's divorced, so there's no chayv misa. And the question is there going to be knas after all? On the one hand, she's a nara and a basula. On the other hand, she has already been divorced. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer ain la knas. There is no din of knas. Why is there no knas? She's a nara. She's a basula. The fact that she had erisin, she had kiddushin once upon a time. Why should that matter? Because the pasuk says in Pashtus Ki Seita in the context of rape. It says of Knas, Asher lo orasa. We're speaking about a Nara Besula, that the Torah says, Asher lo orasa, who has not had erisin. So says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I'll tell you what that means. It's someone who never had erisin. But once she, ha orasa, pa machas, had she, says the Bartunura, had she been, had erisin at one point, shuv ein la Knas. So then she's no Knas, even after she's divorced. So that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, salacha. Now there may be other payments as we've mentioned in the past. There's Boshes, there's Pagam, other payments, but the payment of Knas, that fixed amount of 50 shekel to the father, does not apply. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, yesh la Knas, uknas ala atzma. There is a payment of Knas, but Knas goes to her. Now, how does he derive that from this pasuk? So it says, once again, it says, she's a nara besula, asher lo orasa. So says Rabbi Akiva, you know what that's coming to teach me? It's telling me like this. When she was, if she's lo orasa, she never had erisin, though that's where the Knas goes to the father. Ha orasa, but had she had erisin, that doesn't mean there's no Knas, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili says. That just means that it Knas doesn't go to the father. Ha orasa, had she had erisin in the past, then la atzma, then it's going to go to her, because after all, she had one, had already been married at one point, so then at this point, the knas goes to her and doesn't go to the father. In fact, this helps explain something from the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah, you may remember, we spoke about a case where a father violated his daughter, and we said that was a case where kim lebe d'rabbanei applies, because he's chayiv misa for that, and therefore he's not going to pay knas. So the question is, why would there be knas at all? This is a father who rapes his daughter. And where does the knas go to? It normally goes to the father. So obviously, if you violate your own daughter, there's no payment of knas. He's not paying himself. So I don't need the mishnah to tell me, by the way, you know why there's no knas? Because he's chayiv misa, because he lived with his daughter, and that's a chayiv misa is based in, not a chayiv kares. What do you mean? There wouldn't be any payment at all because he's the father. So therefore, we must be talking about a case where the nara had erisin and then was divorced, and then the father violated her. And if you follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion in our Mishnah, then we understand who would get the Knas potentially. The girl would get Knas. Kamash Malan, the previous Mishnah, that because this was a case of Mises Bastin, the girl would not get the Knas. Others explain the previous Mishnah as saying, yeah, the father violated his daughter, but then she became a Bogeris before they came to court. So once she's in court, the fine goes to her and not wouldn't go to the father. But either way, because he's getting the death penalty, there's not going to be a knas anyway. Perek Imel, Mishnah, Dalet. Hamifate, no Saint Shlosha, Devarim, the Haones Arba. So we mentioned this a little bit. The Mifate, one who seduces, pays three things, and the Ones, the one who rapes, is going to pay four. So what are the Mifate, what does he pay? Hamifate, no Saint Boshes. So these are payments that are going to the father. Remember, we're talking about a Nara here. Number one, Boshes. Boshes is, we've said, which the Mishnah will say, in Ksuvos, and the Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, Hakol fi hamavayesh v'hamisbayesh, all depends on the one doing the embarrassing and the one who is embarrassed, referring to the status maybe of how hush of a person is, the perpetrator and the girl in this case, or the father. So the mefata has to pay the value of boshes. Upigam. Pigam is the depreciation of her value now that she's no longer a basula. We have in Bava Kamma, we have the concept of nezek, which is each person has a certain value as a slave on the slave market, and that depreciates if they lost their arm, they lost their leg, or something like that. Some type of injury will cause a case of nezek. Here, it's not the physical. It's not that she's incapable of doing work as a slave, but it pegam her value depreciates as someone who's potentially going to get married, and that's what because she's no longer besula. So that's the payment of pegam. So the mafata has to pay pegam and uknas, and has to pay knas to the father the 50 shekel. Most of alava ones, the one who raped someone as opposed to seduce, obviously is going to pay those three, boshes, pegam, and knas, but shenosin es hatzar. You also have to pay for tzar, because in a case of rape as opposed to seduction, there's going to be pain as well. That pain... Because it was against her will. Gemara discusses that a little bit. So therefore, that's going to be what type of tsar. But nonetheless, because after all, either way, there's tsar in both cases. So we must be talking about some other type of tsar. That's because she was unwilling. Either way, the ones pays for tsar. Ma bein ones la mefate. So the Mishnah says, so what's the difference between ones and mefate? So number one, the first we know. Ha ones noshen es hatzar, va mefate eino noshen es hatzar. That's one difference. Ones pays for tsar, mefate doesn't. Ha ones noshen miyad, va mefate lechsheyot. See, the ones pays right away. The rapist, the perpetrator in the case of rape, pays right away. But ma mefate lechsheyot, literally means when he frees her, when he divorces her. Not really what it means. A mefate basically means like this. If he chooses not to marry her, then there's going to be the payment of knas. But if he decides to marry her, then he does not have to pay the knas. That's the way it works. So either if neither one wants to get married, he has to pay the knas. But in the case of ones, you pay the knas regardless. You marry it velose elisha. He has to marry her, but they pay the knas regardless. Ha ones shosebati. So third difference between them. Ones literally drinks. He is out of his pot. Utzit is like a flower pot. Vahamafata imratza lahotzi motzi. The mafata, if he wants to free her, he has the right to free her. Means, as we said, when it comes to ones, he has no choice. If she wants to marry him, he has to marry her, and that would be, he has to marry either way. You'll say, even if it's the vessel, literally this pot that he has is not so attractive, the woman that he violated. Nonetheless, it's too bad. Nothing that the Torah says Velosi Elisha. Case of Mefata, though, if he doesn't want to marry her, he's not required to do so. That's what it means in Ratza Lotzi Motzi.